Thank you, praise and worship team. Let's give those guys a hand for leading us into the presence of the Lord this morning. So good to see everybody here. We've got, if you didn't notice on the way in, you may have seen the baptistry is out front and it's full, and we're getting ready at the conclusion of the service today to baptize some people out front. And so what we're going to ask you to do is, if you would, with us at the conclusion of the service, if you've got time to hang around, we're going to give those guys just a few minutes to run to the bathroom and change over, and then we're going to meet right out front to do a baptism today. And so we're excited. They have gone through the baptism class, and they're excited about following Jesus in obedience. And I just want to encourage you, why do we get baptized? And a lot of people, I know a lot of people when they were younger, they got baptized, and the reason they got baptized is because their mama wanted them to get baptized. How many of you know what I'm talking about? And they didn't understand really what they were doing, but they got baptized. Or some people got baptized as a child, and they didn't even know they got baptized, and they didn't even repent of their sins or make a conscious decision to follow Christ. And so one of the things that we love to do is we love, the Bible is very clear when it talks about baptism. This is not my message this morning, but I just want to kind of share that for just a second, is that the Bible is very clear. What it says is a person needs to hear the gospel. They need to repent of their sins. In other words, turn from their sin and turn towards Jesus and put their faith in him. And then the first step in obedience as a follower of Christ is to be baptized, because Jesus commands us to repent and be baptized. Amen? So if you're a person here and you think, you know, man, well, I got baptized as a kid, I didn't really know what I was doing, and since I've followed Jesus and really put my faith in him, I haven't been baptized. If you would like to be baptized again, you can let us know, and we would be happy to do that. Or if you got baptized as a child, some people will ask me questions like, Pastor, is it okay to get baptized again? And I say, I hope so, because I got baptized again. And I got baptized as a young boy, and I knew what I was doing. I'd given my life to the Lord, and I had a period of about 8 years where I walked away from God and lived a life that wasn't a good life. And when I rededicated my life and came back to God as an adult, I wanted to get baptized because I wanted the whole world to know I'm done with this way of life. I'm going under this water, and the old James is staying down, and a new James is going to rise up to walk in newness of life in Jesus Christ. And so we just want to encourage you today, if you have a few minutes after the service, you can come out and celebrate with us as we see three people make that decision today to publicly get baptized and let the whole world, the devil, their friends, and everybody else know that they're going to follow Jesus Christ with all their heart. Amen? Amen. Well, if you're a first-time guest here today, I'm not checking my phone. I'm just putting my timer on so I don't go and I don't punch time. I got my timer set for 2 hours, so you guys are good. I'll have you out of here before lunchtime, right? I'm just kidding. And so if you're a first-time guest here today, we're really glad that you're here. And if you got, when you came in, we hope that you received a welcome packet. And in that packet, if you did, there is a Connect card. If you'll fill that Connect card out for us and turn it in at the guest services table on the way out, we've got a gift that we want to give you just to say thank you for coming and worshiping with us today. And if you don't have a church home, we would love to have you consider making this your church home. So River of Life, let's let our first-time guests know we're glad they're here today. Amen. We're really glad that the Holy Spirit is here, amen? And just a quick announcement from me on the building. We finally got our plans back from the engineer, so we should be able to submit them to the city this week. And hopefully Monday those are going to get submitted, and we're hoping that very quickly we're going to be able to start on our plans of putting a door right back in here, so that way you don't have to go to the restroom through here once service is started, because some of you may have to go right now. If you do, then feel free to go ahead and go. And I kid all the time, if you'll give me this signal right here, what I'll do is I'll walk over to this side and I'll divert everybody's attention away, and that way you can make a break for it. I'm kidding. If you have to go, you feel free to go, and the restrooms are right through here. And so hopefully we're going to be getting that, started on our construction really quickly, and we're going to need some help painting once we get that work done. And so anybody that's interested in coming out and helping us do some painting on this side, as soon as that construction starts, when it's finished, we're going to let everybody know, and anybody that can come out, we'll probably try to do that on a Saturday. And if we get, you know, 10 or 12 rollers going, we should be able to paint that out in no time. And so we're excited about what God is doing. We're getting some new things, and so it's just fun to see what God is doing here at River of Life in Virginia. Amen? Well, I hope you've got your Bibles with you today, and if you do, I want to go ahead and ask you to turn to Matthew chapter 5, and you may be able to guess the title of my message just based on what I have here, right here. And so while you're turning there, I'm going to go ahead and do something as well. So you go ahead and turn to Matthew chapter 5. That's some nice worship they got going over there. I like that. What I'm talking about. We may need to open that door up and get in there with them. So, today the title of my message is Salt and Light. Salt and Light. And we're going to look at Matthew chapter 5, verse 1 through 11. I want to read this to you. And then what I want to do is I want to pray and I want to ask the Lord to bless us in the next few minutes that we have together. Because what I want you to see is I want you to see what does it really mean to be salt and light. And I think a lot of times we take these verses out of context and then we don't put 11. It says Jesus had them. So today I want to read this to you out of the New Living Translation, Matthew 5, 1 through 11. It says, one day as he saw the crowds gathering, Jesus went up on the blessed side and sat down. His disciples gathered around him, and he began to teach them. God blesses those who are poor and realize their need for him, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. God blesses those who mourn, for they will be comforted. God blesses those who are humble, for they will inherit the whole earth. God blesses those who hunger and thirst for justice, for they will be satisfied. God blesses those who are merciful, for they will be shown mercy. God blesses those whose hearts are pure, for they will see God. God blesses those who work for peace, for they will be called the children of God. And God blesses those who are persecuted for doing right, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. God blesses you when people mock you and persecute you and lie about you and say all sorts of evil things against you because you're my followers. Be happy about it. Be very glad, for a great reward awaits you in heaven. And remember, the ancient prophets were persecuted in the same way. You are the salt of the earth, but what good is salt if it has lost its flavor? Can you make it salty again? It will be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. And in the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. Let's pray. Father, I come to you this morning in Jesus' name, and I thank you for your word, and I ask you today, Father, that your anointing would flow in this place. Lord, I pray that it would open our hearts. I pray that it would open our minds, that it would open our ears. And Lord, we submit ourselves right now to your word, and we ask you today, Father, let us see things that we've not seen before. Lord, let us see areas of our lives where we need to change and where we need to receive that word. And Holy Spirit, we ask you today that you would do work inside of us, that you would help us to grow, that you would help us to see the word and receive the word with meekness. Thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Change us from the inside out. God, we love you and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever heard of the Beatitudes? One of the most famous passages of Scripture in the Bible, because how many of you ever heard of the Beatitudes? Anybody heard of that? Those first few verses are called the Beatitudes, and basically what happened is Jesus goes up on the mountain and he sits down, and the disciples follow him up the mountain, and then large crowds are following him. If you read the chapter before, you'll see he's been doing all kinds of things, and once he sees a large crowd following him, then he starts talking in a different way, and he walks up the mountain, he sits down, and all these people come. And normally what we do is we'll teach a message or we'll preach a message on the Beatitudes, and we'll say do all these things, and then maybe next week or in a couple of months we'll teach about being scribing. But what I believe is as we get into this today and we look at this, Jesus is describing what a life looks like that is salty and has light in those passages of Scripture that we read before. And if we're not careful, a lot of times what happens is we'll read and we'll see the Beatitudes and then we'll see salt and light as being two different things. But I want to encourage you today, as we look at it, we're going to kind of go from the back and go forward, and we're going to look at salt and light, and then we're going to talk about how doing these things that Jesus said actually makes us become salt and light in the earth. Amen? So let's go ahead and talk about that. Jesus says, what good is salt if it's lost its flavor? What good is salt if it's lost its flavor? You're going to shake salt out on something that doesn't even taste like salt? Nobody cares about that. And what is he talking about? He's talking about us as the body of Christ, us as the church. If we're the same as the world, we can't add any flavor. Does that make sense? And so this is one of the things that we don't want to do. Paul said, listen, I become all things to all men that by all means I might win some, but that doesn't mean he becomes like the world. That means that he understands he can act with people, he can move with people, but he still has to be the light of Christ. And Jesus was amazing at that, because as holy as Jesus was, in Luke chapter 15, this is what we have, this kind of weird understanding of what holy means. And when we talk about holy and righteous, we think of somebody that, you know, is very, you know, rigid and very cold. Do you think of that when you think of a holy person? I mean, just be honest. You think of somebody that, you know, is proper and, you know, never jokes or never smiles or anything like that. It's like a real serious person. But, you know, Jesus was the most holy person that ever walked on the face of the earth. But Luke chapter 15 says this, that when Jesus spoke, the sinners and the publicans drew near to hear what he had to say. They leaned in at the table. They invited him to parties. Jesus got invited to drinking parties. He got invited to places where prostitutes were because Mary that washed his feet was a prostitute. He got invited to all kinds of places, and you know if Jesus was walking around acting like he was better than everybody, nobody would have invited him to those places. So he could go there, but he still was salt and light everywhere that he went. He didn't compromise the word of God. He didn't compromise his character. He didn't compromise any of those things, but he was invited in all of those places. Why? Because he was salt and light. When you find a salty person, you want to be around him. Not salty in the sense of today's salty. In the Marine Corps, salty has a different term. It means you're old and you've been around a while. Now in the younger culture, salty means you're mad, right? He's upset about something. But we're talking about being salty in the sense of having the word of God and having those things moving in your life. What good is the church if it's just like the world? If there's no difference between the church and the world, we're never going to be able to compete with a club as far as having all the things in a way. We're not trying to be like the world. What we're trying to do is show the light of Jesus in a way that people can receive it. Amen? What good are Christians if they're just like everybody else and they're not pointing to Jesus? Now, I've heard a lot of Christians say, you know what, I just like to let my actions speak. I don't really say too much when I go to work or when I go here. And that's all good, but you still need to you need to talk, right? You need to live your life for Christ, but then you also need to be able to talk about Christ. You know what? Salt that can't enhance the flavor of food is no good, and it'll be thrown out as worthless. And I want to tell you something else that I've learned. How many of you know, if you were eating something right now, and have you ever eaten something like a piece of meat that had no salt on it, and you're thinking, and then all of a sudden you put just a little bit of salt on there, and it's like, oh my gosh, this is the best thing that I've ever put in my mouth. You know what I'm talking about? But you know what I've learned is that salt that stays in the box doesn't help anything. If you were sitting at the table right now, and you were eating a meal, and you said, hey, do you got any salt? And I say, yes, and I just hold the box. Yeah, I got some right here. Salt doesn't do any good unless it gets shaken out onto the plate, correct? Unless something gets out and gets onto the food. And it's the same way in the Christian world. Christians that just stay in church and live the life in church, but they don't get outside of the salt shaker, which is the church, and they don't get into the world, and they don't begin to shake the light of Christ and the salt of Christ out in the areas that they are, then that's not going to do any good. Because how many of you know, it's like if we try to build the church and make it look beautiful and all kinds of things like that, but people don't know what's in here and they don't want to come in here, what has to happen is the church has to exit the building, right? The church has to get outside the four walls and be salty and be light out in the community for people to have a taste and a hunger for that. How many of you know that you eat something with salt on it, and what does it do? It makes you thirsty, doesn't it? Because he said, listen, you're the light of the world. You are. If Christ lives in you, then you're the light of the world. And he says, a city that's set on a hill cannot be hidden. I don't know if you've ever been out at night in the woods or in the desert or something like that. The desert is a beautiful place because at night, if there's a city up on a hill, you can see it from miles away. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You've seen it, and you can just sit there and look at it. It wasn't meant to be put on that hill to be hidden. It was meant to be there so that people can see it. And what Jesus is saying, listen, you're the light of the world. You're supposed to burn bright so that people around you notice the difference. And you know what makes us different is that the character of Jesus Christ that lives on the inside of us, when Jesus lives through us, how many of you know the Bible calls the world a dark place? It's a dark place. Where you go to work at is a dark place. If you're in the military, I'm telling you, I remember when I was in the Marine Corps, it was a dark place, man. And I didn't cuss thumb after I gave my life to Jesus because I didn't do the same things that I used to do. I didn't cuss like I used to cuss. I didn't tell dirty jokes or listen to dirty jokes like I used to. I didn't have to talk bad about anybody. People noticed right away. And they were like, man, why didn't you laugh at that? And I'm like, well, listen, I don't think that's very funny, man. You know, why don't you listen? Why, when people start talking like that, do you walk off? Well, I do that because I don't want to hear that kind of stuff. I love Jesus, and I want to follow him and serve him. And so you don't have to go around knocking people on the head with the King James Version of the Bible. All you have to do is be who you would be if you, as you're following Christ, and people are going to notice, and they're going to see there's a difference in your life. Amen? How many of you remember in the Old Testament when Moses came down from the mountain after he'd been in the presence of God? What happened? What happened to his face? His face was shining so bright he had to put a veil over it, because when people looked at him, they were getting freaked out. They were like, what in the world's going on? His face looked like he's got a glow stick rubbed all over it. Like, what's happening to him? And what it was Moses was spending time with the Father. He was in the presence of God. And when he came back down to the rest of everybody else, everybody that looked at him said, he's been in the presence of God. And I want to tell you right now, the same thing can happen in the New Testament. The same thing that can happen now. People that spend a lot of time with Jesus, there's something about them. They just shine. There's a brightness in their life. How many of you know what I'm talking about? And you get around somebody like that and you're like, man, I don't know what's different about this guy. I don't know what's going on with this lady, but man, they are just, love is coming off of them. The presence of God is just coming off of them, and what that is exactly what Jesus is talking about. Be salt and be light in the earth. That's what he's calling us to do. When Moses came down, his face was glowing, and I just want to tell you that Jesus didn't save you and me and give us a light for us to keep it hidden. That other people give us the light for us to put something over this and hide it so that other people wouldn't be able to see it. He made us light to do what? Put us on display so that he can give light to everyone in the house around us. And I want to tell you, you may be in a place today where you think, why am I in the place that I'm at? Why am I in the job that I'm at? Why am I in the hospital? I've had times where I didn't realize that when I was in Italy, and I had this freak thing happen to me, and I couldn't breathe, and my throat swelled up, and I almost died, and they were trying to figure out what was going on, and they sent me home, and then the same thing happened again, and my wife had to take me to the emergency room the next day, so they admitted me, and for a week, they're running tests on me, and I'm in this room with five other guys. You should thank God, as much as you think the healthcare system here in America is messed up, you should thank God, because here, you're going to be in a room with one other person. I was in a room with five or six other guys. There's machines going off, and after the third day, I hadn't even slept because nurses are coming in all the time. And I was so tired, I remember going out into the hallway and sleeping in a chair with an IV. I drug my IV out there. The doctor wakes me up. He's like, what you doing? I said, I'm trying to get some sleep, man. I hadn't been able to sleep in there, and I'm feeling sorry for myself and feeling bad. And I asked the Lord, I was like, God, why is this happening to me? Why am I in this? Nobody knows what's going on. It's ridiculous. And all of a sudden, I realized I'm in this place to be light. And my stay in the hospital began to change. My mind started changing, and I went back into that room, and I started looking at these other people. And as I began to talk with them and engage in them, what I realized was is none of them knew Jesus. And guess what started happening? I started praying for them. Even in my hospital bed, I found out that the guy across from me was a banker, and he was actually in there because he was an alcoholic and he had no hope in life. And I was able to share the gospel with him, share my testimony with him. It was an amazing time. And then the next day, a lady that was a nurse at the hospital that had been to our church that I didn't even know, she had come one time. And she walks in the room, and I'm trying to figure out, how am I going to share the gospel with all these people? Because one time a day, they had where you could come in, and the visitors could come into the room. And so everybody was in the room. Everybody had visitors. And this lady that was a nurse pops her head in, and I'm laying on the bed, and she goes, Pastor, what are you doing here? And when she said that, everybody turned and looked at me, and she goes, Oh, and I said, you know, I told her what happened, and then everybody looked at me, and then one of the ladies said, you know what, I've been wondering, what's the difference between Catholicism and what your church is? And everybody stopped what they were doing and looked at me, and I said, I'm so glad you asked. And I preached the gospel from my hospital bed, sitting right there, and I had all these people that never would have come to my church had an opportunity to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, because after 3 days of whining and feeling sorry for myself, I realized what I was in there for. And the reason I share that is because some people today are in jobs, some people today are in situations, and you're wondering, God, why am I going through this? And you're not going through anything. God is bringing you to a place so that you can be salt and light where he's brought you to. And I want to encourage you, all it takes is for us to understand that the world is not all about us, but it's about him and his glory. And when you understand that, I'm telling you, I know the temptation, because for 3 days I cried about it. And I was like, I'm feeling sorry for myself. God, what's going on? And to make a long story short, I ended up getting out of the hospital, free, a clean bill of health, and hadn't had any issues in that area since then. But I understood God wanted me to be salt and light where I was at. And the reason why is so that people will praise our Heavenly Father because of our good deeds. Did you know that God has created things for you to do before the world was even made? He had a plan for your life, and he's created good things for you to walk in today. If you'll go to him and say, God, what is it today that you want me to do for the people that are around me to shine the love of Jesus Christ and to be salt in this area? What can I do? And I'm telling you, when you get ready to start praying like that, God is going to open doors. He's going to give you opportunities. He's going to bring people into your life. And all of a sudden, those people that you're looking at and you're thinking are a problem, you begin to see them as a person that God wants to use you to reach with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it'll change the way you're looking at things. So what I want to do is I want us to look at these, and I want us to look at the Beatitudes for a minute, because I think what they show us is a great example of attitudes and actions that we can have that will actually show salt and light to those that don't know Jesus. So I want to just go through these one at a time, and I'm going to go through these some of these kind of quickly because we don't have a lot of time. But listen, how many of you know we all want the blessing of God on our life? There's not a person here that doesn't want to say, you know what, I want the blessing of God on my life. If you look at anything on social media, what you see is hashtag blessed. How many of you know what I'm talking about? New car, hashtag blessed. New house, hashtag blessed. Everything, you know, new boat, new shoes, grandkid, whatever it is, and we put that on there like a hashtag nowadays. And most of the time, the only thing that we think about when we think about a blessing is something that is temporal, something that is fleeting, something that in 10 years' time is not going to bring us any satisfaction at all. And I want to tell you today, as we get ready to look at these, what I think God is going to show us is that there's so many blessings that he has that are not temporal, that are eternal, and they will go with you. And we want to focus on some of those things today. Now, I want you to, is the blessing of God in material things that are here today and gone tomorrow? I don't think it is. I think God wants us to be blessed in material. That's great. But I think even more than that, he wants to bless us in things that are not going to perish. Number one, let's look at this. God blesses those who realize their need for them. The Bible says theirs is the kingdom of heaven, right? He blesses those who realize their need for him. I want to say this to you. Realizing your need for God is of the utmost importance in the life of every human being. So many of us are self-made people. We can do it. I was taught from a young age, pull yourself up by your bootstraps. You can put your mind to it. You can do it. And we teach our kids that, and that's a great lesson because in many arenas, that's what you need. It's really good. How many of you would say that? But what happens if we're not careful is we will grow up thinking we can do everything we need to do and we don't need God's help to do it. We don't need his help because you can do it. Just think harder. Just work harder. Just try harder. You can do it. And that's what we tell people. And I'm going to tell you right now, when you come to the end of yourself and realize you can't make it on your own, you're a candidate to receive the biggest blessing that you've ever had in your life. Now, remember when this became a reality in my life, because I want to tell you, when it came to academic things, I could push myself enough and study hard enough to do what I wanted to do. When it came to physical things, I could push myself to limits that most people don't push themselves to. I could go and push harder and say, I'm going to make it, I'm going to do it. And I was able to achieve all the things that I wanted to achieve in that. But when I got saved and I began to try to do spiritual things, what I realized was, is I'm the biggest wimp in the world. I say I'm a Christian and I'm going to pray every day, and after 2 days, I forget to pray for 4 days. I say that I'm going to read the Bible and I'm going to read the whole Bible and I'm going to be hungry for God, and I read the Bible for 3 days in a row, and all of a sudden I don't pick it up for 2 weeks. I even forget where my Bible is. I say that I'm going to tell people about Jesus, and I share with one person and it doesn't go the way I want it to, and it may go 6 months to a year before I ever even try that again. And the reason is because I'm trying to do that in my own strength. And I came to a point in my spiritual life where what I realized was, is I got to a place where I was just like, God, I cannot do this. I cannot do it. And he said, exactly, that's the point. You can't do it. I never told you that you could do it. You have to learn that you have to rely on me in order to be able to do those things. And that's one of the greatest lessons that you can learn, is that you cannot do what God calls you to do in your own strength. You have to rely on Him. You have to give those things to Him. Many of us, I'm going to say this, and this may hurt your feelings, but it's true. Many of us have an inflated opinion of our own abilities. We can do it. I can do it. Oh yeah, I can do it. And then and then what you realize very quickly is, well, I thought I could do it, but that's not working out like I thought it was going to. See, when God's blessing comes down on us and we realize that we can't do it on our own and we humble ourselves, then what begins to happen is His grace begins to work in our life. He begins to move in our lives, and all of a sudden we can do things that we couldn't do on our own, not because we're trying harder, but because His life is moving in us. Now we operate in His strength and under His blessing. We understand what that word means. I can do all things through Christ that gives me strength. Now let me ask you, have you come to your realization today that you need Him in every area of your life? It's such a huge blessing to understand that. You need God to live according to His word. You need God to be able to forgive those that hurt you and walk as His child. And as you live your life in dependence on Him, what happens is you become salt and light to everybody around you. It's an amazing thing when you see that. You see, when others see your need for Him, it shines light on their needs. Does that make sense? When people look at you and you don't talk about all the things that you can do, but you talk about the things Jesus does in you, all of a sudden what you're doing is shining light on Him. And you're putting salt on them, and it makes them thirsty to have what you have. Does that make sense? Number two, the Bible says God blesses those who mourn, and they'll be comforted. Now I want to tell you today, if you're mourning something today, you've got a promise of comfort from a living Father. You got a promise of comfort. And how can that be salt and light? Think about this. God is a comforter, and when He comforts us, we can comfort others. Have you ever had somebody comfort you during a difficult time? Somebody that was able to come alongside of you and speak life to you and bring you out of a dark place and bring you out of a dark hole? And a person that brings comfort to others in difficult times is salt and light. So anywhere that you are, when people are going through difficult times, when you're going through difficult times and you need comfort in your own life, you receive comfort from the Father. You look to Him and you receive that from Him. And as you receive that from Him, guess what? You're able to see other people in your life and pour that same comfort out to them that you've received. And what are you doing when you do that? You're shining light to them. You're giving salt to them. You're showing them what Jesus really looks like. The third thing, and this is a beautiful one right here, it says, God blesses the humble, and they'll inherit the earth. God blesses the humble, and they'll inherit the earth. You know, humility is such a rarity in today's world that it is tremendous salt and light. If you want to be, if you want to see something different, be a humble person and watch people look at you differently. Because when you get into conversations, especially with guys, guys are going to talk big, right? If you can run, you know, 3 miles, I can run 10 miles. You know what I'm talking about? And we've all been around people like that where there's no humility in us whatsoever. It's like, oh, well, you can do that, I can do this, and these types of things. People who are able to give praise to other people and not themselves show humility. Let me ask you something. When people in your life are prospering and good things are happening, can you really give compliments to them and be thankful for them and thank them and encourage them? That takes humility to do that. Why? Because our nature wants to say, well, why ain't that happening for me? That person just got a new car, God. Well, that's great for them, but what about my new car? That person just got a new house. That's great for them, but what about my new house? You understand what I'm saying? And when we can show true humility, we can really see things. I remember when we lived in Italy, and I studied hard, man. And it took me over a year, and I started being able to speak Italian. And I'm going to tell you, how many of you know when you work hard and somebody compliments you on something you do, that feels good? I mean, be honest with me. That feels good when somebody says, if you've been dieting and working out hard and you walk in and somebody goes, man, you look like you've lost some weight. Boy, that feels great. You're like, all right, I'm going to keep on that diet. I'm going to run some more. You know what I'm saying? Because it feels good. But some people will do this. This is what I did. I learned the language, and I can remember being at a conference speaking in Switzerland, and I was preaching in Italian, and people were speaking in Italian, and a guy would come up, and he said, "Man, your Italian is so good, I didn't even know if you were an American." And I thought, wow, man, you know, thank you. And then what I caught myself doing is I would speak in Italian on purpose to get people to say that. I was fishing for that. I'm going to be honest and just open my soul up to you. You guys are looking at me and like, oh, yeah, I've done that before. Maybe not with Italian, but with something else. And the Lord called me on it. And he said, look at what you're doing. He said, you are so proud of yourself and what you've done that you're actually setting yourself up to get compliments. That is so prideful. And as soon as I realized that, I was like, oh, God, forgive me for that. And I repented. And then I had to learn how to do something and receive compliments and not be false humility. So let me show you this. You know how, like, a lot of people, what they'll do is just say you have a beautiful voice. Just say that. And somebody comes up and you'll go up to that person. You'll say, you have the most beautiful voice. And they'll go like this. Oh, no, I can't sing at all. You know, I'm not even really that good. There's tons of people better than me. And you know they're not being genuine because everybody that hears them know they sing beautifully. And people will do that to kind of deflect, and it's this weird kind of false humility. Now let me explain to you, and I learned this as what I'm talking about. And so what I learned was somebody shared this story with me, and it changed my life when it comes to receiving compliments. They said, I want you to imagine you were driving a brand new Ferrari Testarossa, beautiful, candy apple red. It's got calf leather, you know, brown calf leather, hand-stitched everything on the inside car, and talking, you know, the most beautiful car you can see. And one of your friends lets you borrow that car, and you take it out for a drive, and you stop at the gas station to put some gas in, and the person gets out and looks at it, and a crowd gathers around, and everybody's going, oh, my gosh, that's the most awesome car that I've ever seen in my life. You got one or two options. You can either go, this old thing, man, it's not really that nice. I mean, if you had one, you would know. It's not very much different than your car. You could do that, and what is that called? False humility. Or you could say, you know what? This is the most beautiful car I've ever seen in my life. I'm telling you, it is amazing. Let me show you. Get in here, and let me show you what this thing really looks. Look at here. Oh, man, it's so amazing. And then you can look at them, and you can say, but guess what? It's not mine. It doesn't belong to me. It's one of my friends. And what are you doing is you're receiving the compliment, but you're directing it to the person that really owns it. So anything that you do good, anything that is a great value to other people, you don't want to be a person that just says, oh, no, I can't do anything good. You want to say, thank you so much. You know what? You're right. Man, I sing great, but guess what? I didn't do anything to get this voice. God gave it to me. So thank God I give all the glory back to him. And then when that begins to happen, you begin to walk in true humility. And I'm going to tell you, that is so rare in today's world. When people see that, they're going to look to Jesus, and your humility is going to point them to the King. Amen? And that's what Jesus is talking about by being light. When you do that, you're pouring out salt that gives unbelievers a taste that'll make them thirsty for what you have. How many of you meet very many humble people in the world today? We don't meet very many people that are humble in the world today. And so when you're humble, you show the character of Jesus and you point other people to them. The fourth one, real quick, God blesses those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, and they'll be satisfied. What does this look like? People who hunger and thirst for things to be done in ways that please God and not man, right? You know what people are hungry for today? They hunger and thirst for things to be done in ways that please them, not in ways that please God. And Jesus is saying that if you don't know what righteousness is right standing with God. So what Jesus is saying is when you hunger and thirst for righteousness, when you hunger and thirst for the way God wants things and the way God sees things and the way God created things, you're going to be filled. And when you're filled, what's going to happen? You're going to have plenty to give out to other people. And as you stand in the world today and you're hungry for the things that God is hungry for and you're thirsty for the things that God is thirsty for, you're going to be a bright light around everybody, because today everybody is looking at what they want and what they desire. Amen? And people are hungry and thirsty to see God's ways followed that will pour salt and light out everywhere they go. So I want to tell you, you know how to be salt and light in the world today? Stand for righteousness. Be hungry for righteousness. Be thirsty for righteousness. When people are around you are in a very loving life, stand up and just say, no, that's not right. We can't go that way. We can't do that thing because I want to see God's will be done. I want to see God's word be accomplished. I want to see God's will and design be made for the earth. And when you do that, you're being salt and light in the earth. Number five, this is another good one. God blesses the merciful, for they'll be shown you have. Just really dumb, and you felt so terrible about it. And all you wanted was for somebody just to forgive you, give you a little bit of mercy. We've all felt that way before. And how great does it feel to run into somebody that you've done something really dumb to and they forgive you and they show you mercy? What a great thing. But then on the flip side of that, when dumb things are done to us, mercy is not the first thing that comes up in us, is it? It's not what we want to see. And a matter of fact, in the world, you don't see a lot of mercy. When we show mercy, we demonstrate that we're children of God. Give people what they is rich in mercy. And I want to tell you what mercy is when we don't give people what they deserve. Aren't you thankful for God's old? I remember a time years ago when my son was probably about 6 years old, and I thought he was old enough for this lesson, and I was going to teach him about mercy. And he had done something that I told him not to do, and his punishment was going to be to get a spanking. And I had this all planned out, and I thought, oh, I'm going to teach him about mercy, and this is going to be great. He's going to cry, and we're going to hug at the end, and it's just going to be this awesome thing. You know, and I'm always trying to think up good ways to teach my kids. So I explained to my son, I said, listen, you disobeyed Daddy, didn't you? Yes, sir, I did. And I said, okay, what do you deserve? And he said, I deserve a pow-pow. I deserve a spanking. I said, that's exactly what you deserve. And I said, what do you think you're going to get? And he looked at me and he said, a spanking. And I said, no, you're not. I said, I'm going to teach you about mercy today, son. I grossly overestimated his ability to grab a hold of this concept. And I said, so what we're going to do today, mercy is when you don't get what you deserve. And he's like, oh, man. Oh, I like the sound of that. I said, but guess what? You did wrong, so somebody's got to pay for that, right? Yes, sir. And I said, okay, so Daddy's going to take your whipping today, and you're going to have to whip Daddy. And I was expecting him to cry and say, oh, no, I can't do that, Daddy. And when I said that, guess what he did? A big smile came across his face, and he held his hand out for the paddle. And I bent over, and I did let him whip me. I grossly overestimated his understanding of what mercy was. He was way too young for that lesson. So fathers, if you're going to teach your kid that, wait till they're at least like 13 or 14 so they can kind of grasp a hold of that. But why do I share that? Because when you show mercy, what you're doing, natural, pouring out salt and light to everybody around you. Nobody shows mercy. It's not a natural thing. It's not a normal thing. How can you show, so the question I want to ask you is today, how can you show mercy at home as a dad? How can you show mercy at home as a husband? How can you show mercy at home as a wife? How can you as a boss show mercy? How can you show mercy as an employee in every area of your life? Think about it. How can you show mercy? Because here's the deal. The more power you have, the more merciful you can become. Did you realize that? God is the most merciful being in the whole universe. Why? Because he has all the power. You can't be merciful to somebody if you don't have power to be merciful. Do you understand that? So every promotion you get, do you know what that actually means? You have more opportunity to be merciful. You can show the mercy of a loving God. And I'm not saying God, the Bible says God doesn't let things go unpunished. People are going to have to pay for what they do. But as you being a merciful person, you can add a powerful tool that people God with every promotion becomes the ability to grow in mercy. And mercy is a powerful tool that God gives us to point others to him. Mercy is salt and light to those living without Christ. Let's look at the sixth one real quick. God blesses those who have pure hearts. Pure hearts. The Bible says because they're going to see God. People with a pure heart. Psalm 24 says, blessed who can ascend the hill of the Lord, he that had clean hands and a pure heart and has not lifted up his soul unto vanity, he's going to receive the blessing of the Lord. That pure heart is what we're talking about. Now let me ask you, does that mean perfect people? Does that mean somebody that never does anything wrong? It doesn't mean that. It means those who are honest about their actions and don't hide them, but repent when they do wrong and seek God's face. David was called a man after God's own heart. How many of you know that? God called him that. He said, you're a man after my own heart. Yet in one chapter in the Bible, David broke all the Ten Commandments. In one chapter. He broke all the Ten Commandments in one thing. And this is a man, God says, is a man after my own heart. Now, how can God say that when he was doing all these things? Because the moment David was confronted with his sin, the Bible says he repented and he began to weep. And he said, I have sinned against you, my Father. I have sinned against you, O God. And so having a pure heart doesn't mean you're perfect. It means that when the Word of God confronts the wrong in you, when other people confront the wrong in you and you see that, you're a person that has a pure heart and you call evil what it is even when you find it in your own heart. You call wrong what it is even when you're the one doing it. Does that make sense? And when we have a heart like that, the Bible says we're going to see God. Now that's another thing. One of the best ways that we can be salt and light as a Christian, especially in the workplace, is not that you're always perfect. How many of you have ever worked in a workplace where people knew you were a Christian and they are waiting for you to make a mistake? I had guys when I was in the Marine Corps that if I even got a little bit of a temper, you know, they would point out, oh, I thought you were a Christian, Grayson, look at you. You're going to rise up and get all angry. And they were looking for that. They were looking to try to push my buttons to make me blow up and get angry. And why did they do that? Because they wanted to discredit everything that the Bible stood for. And you know what I learned to do very quickly? I made lots of mistakes. And I want to tell you, the greatest salt and the greatest light that you can do when you work with unbelievers is this. When you make a mistake and blow it, you own it. And I used to tell guys all the time, man, that was not Jesus, that was me. I blew it right there. Let me tell you, Jesus would have never acted that way. And I thank God that he's not finished with me yet. He's still working on me. And I would call my own self out when I did things wrong. Dads, you wanna really bless your family? When you make mistakes and you blow it, do something wrong. And own it and admit it. Tell your wife that you were wrong, what you said. Tell your kids when you do something wrong, daddy was wrong there. I shouldn't have done that. Lead that free example. And what you're going to find out is as you begin to lead that way, other people around you will be free to be able to do that. Wives, do the same thing. If you're a boss at work and you make a mistake, how many of you know what I'm talking about? As a boss and you make a mistake, it's hard to go back and say, I made a mistake, isn't it? If you're a leader in the military, it's really hard to go back and tell somebody underneath you, you know what, I shouldn't have done that. That was a mistake on my part. I shouldn't have acted that way. But if you want to shine light, I'm going to tell you right now, be a person that will be open and admit those things and have a pure heart. And what you'll find out is God will begin to shine light all through your life. Number 7, God blesses those who work for peace and they'll be called the children of God. God blesses those who work for peace. They'll be called children of God. What does that mean, people that work for peace? It's a word called reconciliation. And what it means is making peace between two opposing forces. Jesus Christ is the greatest agent of reconciliation because he stood between a sinful mankind and a holy God, and his cross reconciled us back to God, made peace with God on our behalf. And so if you want to spread salt and light, you do what Jesus did. You become a person that works for peace and that blesses people for peace. How can you do that? Use your influence to help others work things out instead of stirring things up. How many of you have been in a work situation or you've been in a family situation where there are two people feuding against each other and what they're trying to do is get people to choose their side or the other side? And you choose my side and you agree with me, everything I say bad about this person, you're not a peacemaker if you do that. You're absolutely not a peacemaker because what you're doing is you're lending yourself to the problem. You're lending yourself to the argument. But what you can do as a peace... Italy, one time we had a couple that came to our house for marriage counseling. I don't know why this just came in my mind, but it was actually a funny thing. And they were Albanians, and I don't know if you've heard Albanians talk when they're happy, but they sound mad even when they're happy. Their language is kind of like a strong language. And I listened to them in my house for about an hour and a half. And it was hot. We didn't have an air try to break in every now and again and try to help them see some things. And then finally, after a while, you know what I did? I felt like the Holy Spirit just rose up inside of me. I stood up from the table and I said, enough, both of you right now, be quiet. I just like that, just like I was talking to my kids. I said, do you love your husband? And she looked at me and she goes, yes. And I said, do you love your wife? And he said, yes. And I said, then stop acting like kids and get up and love each other. And they looked at me like that. They both stood up, hugged each other, and they're still married today. Still married today. And what did I do? I didn't buy into any of those things. What I said was, listen, do right. Don't be fighting about frivolous things and little things like that. You got to learn how to make peace. You got to learn how to just step over some things and rise up in that. And so let me encourage you this. You can do that in your marriage. You can do that at work. If you hear people fighting and you know there's infighting and you know there's things going on, don't be a person that gives ear to one side of that, but find out how you can get those two people together and say, listen, you guys have got to work this out for the good of everybody. You've got to be able to do that. And when you do that, this is what God is talking about. He blesses those who work for peace, and they're going to be called children of God. Number eight, this is the last one real quick, and we're going to look at this. God blesses those who are persecuted for doing right. The kingdom of heaven is theirs. And God blesses those who are mocked and persecuted, lied about for being Jesus' followers, because they have a great reward awaiting in heaven. Now, why that doesn't seem like the rest of them, does it? When you look at that, it's like, okay, we've seen all these good things that we're supposed to do, and now Jesus is saying, blessed are those who are persecuted. Blessed are those who are treated bad. Let me ask you something with light. Have you ever went into a dark room when somebody was sleeping and just turned the light on real fast? Were they happy? Have you ever seen that face where somebody's laying and you turn the light on and it's like this? It's like, and, you know, what are you doing? Turn that light off. And the nicest person in the world, when you wake them up suddenly with a bright light, are not happy at all. How many of you know what I'm talking about? They're not happy whatsoever. Why? Because they don't want to wake up. And I'm going to tell you right now, when you shine your light before Jesus, you're going to run into people that do not want to wake up. They don't want to see that. They don't like that. They like the darkness. They want to sleep. They want to stay where they're at. And so what Jesus is saying in this, listen, you're going to run into different kinds of people. If you run in and you turn the light on real fast and that person was supposed to be at work 30 minutes ago and you're waking me up and it's a completely different, they wake up and jump up and they say, oh my God, thank you so much for waking me up. And it's a completely different reaction. You go and some people are not wanted to wake up. And can I tell you right now, you're going to meet people everywhere you go, and some people are not going to want to wake up, and they're going to be mad at you. They're going to throw things at you. They're going to persecute you, and it's not because you're doing anything bad. It's because they love the darkness, and they want to stay in the dark. They want to roll back over and go back to sleep. They don't want to confront the reality of life and what's going on. They want to stay in that place, and Jesus was preparing them, and he's saying, listen, you would think that when you do all these good things and you do all these kind things, everybody's going to be happy about it, but guess what? There's a bunch of people that are going to want to stay asleep. They're going to want to stay in that place, and those people are going to persecute you. Those people get angry at you. They're going to do all kinds of things to you. But Jesus said, listen, don't give up on that. But guess what? He even said, enjoy it and be thankful for it, because there's a reward waiting for you in heaven. Nobody likes to wake somebody up that doesn't want to be woken up. How many of you know what I'm talking about? If you've got anybody in your family and they are a hard person to wake up, everybody's like, hey, can you go wake them up? No, I don't want to wake them up this morning. You go wake them up, because it's a hard thing and you got to deal with that thing and you got to deal with that thing. That's why God's saying, listen, there's a reward in heaven for people that live like this, that show mercy, that are humble, that spread the love of God, that shine the light of Jesus Christ, even to people that don't want to see it. There's a reward waiting on you. So when you're at work and you begin to do righteous things and you get persecuted for it, don't give up and don't lose heart, but understand they did the same thing to the prophets. They did the same thing to Jesus, and there's going to be a reward waiting for you in heaven one day. And that's what Jesus is saying. Don't give up. Don't give up. There are many believers across the world today that are being persecuted just for being followers of Jesus. I have friends that are pastors in India right now, and just the fact that they're a pastor, there's a target on their back. They have to be very careful about everything they do. I talked to one of the pastors that is in Delhi, India, and he said, when we go out and do evangelism, we can't just talk to anybody and start telling them about Jesus. We have to really make sure before we give them the address of the church that they're seriously hungry. And it's like, because what happens is militant Hindus and people like that will pretend like they want to hear that, and then they'll find out where the church is, and they'll get a big group of them and go there and destroy the church and beat everybody up and sometimes kill people. And so they have to be really careful about that. Why are they about it executed like that? What is it that we've read that is so evil and bad that Jesus talked about? It has nothing to do with that. What it has to do is people are in darkness and they're asleep and they don't want to wake up. They don't want to come out of that. And so this is what Jesus is saying. Listen, he says, when you're persecuted for doing right, when you're mocked, when you're lied about for being a Christ follower, be happy about it. Be very glad, because a great reward is waiting for you in heaven. What an amazing thing for us today as believers. We can be happy and glad when others are persecuting us for standing for righteousness. And when we do that, can you imagine what it's going to look like to people when they're persecuting you and you still stand and love them? And you still stand and show the love of God? The light just gets brighter and brighter and brighter. And that's the way that it's supposed to be in the world. Now, I want to encourage you today. God is calling us to shine as bright lights into the world. Now, I want to ask you this, and I want you to think about this as we get ready to close today. How would things around you change if you began to show the light and spread your workplace, the gospel of Jesus Christ, everywhere that you go, in your home, in your workplace, in your friendship circles, everywhere that you are, if you really begin to live like Jesus is talking about here? What would our church look like if all of us began to take those words of Jesus to heart and really live those things out? I tell you what, I believe our community would see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven. And God would receive all the glory, God would receive all the honor, and God would be praised everywhere that we go. Amen? So let me ask you this. As we get ready to close today, I was thinking about this. We're talking about the light, and we're talking about all these things. And I got a question for you today as we get ready to close. Do you need to come to the light today? Is there something in your life where you say, you know what, man, I've been walking in darkness in this area of my life, and nobody even knows about it. I'm keeping this aside. I'm keeping this under. Nobody sees that. And I always like to bring us back to those things, because God wants to show us things in our heart, not to expose us and make us look bad, but he wants to expose those things in us so that we can be honest and we can have a pure heart and we can open that up to God and allow him to put his hand on that and take that away from us. And so if there's an area of your life today, I pray that the Holy Spirit has been speaking to us, because Jesus promises that if we come to the light, we won't be cast out and we'll be forgiven. So what I want to do for just a moment is I just want to take a moment and let us pray together. And if there's something in your heart, you don't have to tell me. You don't have to tell anybody beside you. God knows. And if there's something that you need to give to him, if there's something that you need to get right with him, why don't you just bow your head for a minute and take a moment and just ask the Lord, God, is there anything in my life that I need to bring to the light? So, Father, I just come to you right now in Jesus' name, and I thank you for your word, God. Thank you for the power that it has to touch us on the inside out, Father. I thank you for the light of your God. I pray that each and every one of us, God, would have had an encounter with you today, and that our hearts would be changed. Father, we thank you that you paid the price on the cross. You died, and your blood was shed so that we wouldn't have to hide, but so that we could be changed and we could walk in newness of life. Lord, I pray that you would give us a pure heart today. Right now, if you just need anything, if you need to let go of anything, I want to encourage you, just do that now and just tell God, Lord, I release this to you. I ask you to forgive me. I don't want to walk in darkness in this. I want to walk in the light like you're in the light. I want to receive forgiveness. Lord, I just thank you right now for blessing us and touching us. God, I pray that you would open every heart today. I'm just going to pray this, and if you need to pray this with me, you can just pray this out loud. Just say, Father, in Jesus' name, you see the things in my heart. You see everything. Lord, I don't want to hide. I want to walk in the light like you're in the light. So I confess this to you today. I ask you would take this out of me. Make me a new creation. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. Now, Father, I pray that you would give us grace and strength to walk in the light and to be the light. I pray that you would give us grace and strength today to be salt in the earth, Father God. Lord, for anybody that has lost their saltiness, God, anybody that has lost their hunger for you and their thirst for you and their hunger and thirst for righteousness, Father, I ask you right now that you would come into this place and you would refill our cups, God, that you would stir us up, oh God, to be salt and light in the earth. And I pray this week, Father God, that you would use us to shine bright in a dark place, that you would use us to shine bright in a dark place. I thank you, Father, that none of us are in a place on accident. And I just really feel that strongly this morning, that you are not where you are on accident, but you are there to be light. You are there to be salt. God has a plan for you right where you are. Stop looking past it and embrace your place. Be the light. Be salt today. Father, I thank you for an anointing to come upon us to be bold in you, Father. To go and to do what you're calling us to do. Father, I pray this week for divine appointments. I pray this week, Father, that you would help us to see situations that we've been looking at and we've been seeing them one way. We've been looking at this and saying, God, deliver me from this and get me out of this. And you're saying, no, that you're the light and salt that I'm placing in there to bring about change. You're the one that I'm putting in that place to be an agent of change. And I just speak that over you in Jesus' name today. And I declare over every one of us today that the grace of God will make you able to do what you cannot do on your own. Some people are saying, man, I'm not very bright. I don't have a bright light. And God is saying, listen, if you would just open up your heart, I would pour more and more through you. Lord, help us to see that we cannot do it on ourselves. We cannot do it in our own hearts. But it's you, Father, that works in us to do that. Father, we give you praise for it. We give you glory for it. And if you receive it, say amen this morning. Amen. Guys, God bless you. Kelly, you want to go ahead and come this morning? Won't you give him a hand as he's coming this morning to close the service out?